Iran has slammed an Israeli plan to join the U.S. proposed naval coalition in the Persian Gulf, with Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif saying that any extra territorial presence in the region is a source of insecurity. The Islamic Republic says Israel's presence in the strategic area is a clear threat to its security, stressing that it reserves the right to confront such a threat. The U.S. says that its proposed coalition seeks to ensure security of oil tankers in the face of what it calls Iran's threats. Only the UK and Israel have so far agreed to join the patrol. In tonight's debate, we'll discuss what's behind Israel's interference in the Persian Gulf. Is it part of its normalization of ties with Persian Gulf Arab states? These questions and more in tonight's debate. Joining us for the program right now, we have author and political commentator Nasir Al-Omari joining us from New York. Mr. Al-Omari, welcome to the program. Why would Washington want to bring Israel into such a naval coalition in the Persian Gulf, for that matter?
Well, Israel is an ally of the United States. All of the military action, all of the strategic planning, including planning that involves the Middle East, Arab countries, includes Israel. So Israel is a partner, even in the Arab NATO, where Israel is not really a member, at least declared to be a member. Israel is actually a major player in that Arab NATO. So we have Israel, we have the United States, we have Britain, and Australia is considering seriously, joining this coalition. Probably other countries, South Korea. So this is really an American coalition of Arab allies, Israel, the United Kingdom, really close allies of the United States. Everybody else has rejected the idea. Japan has rejected the idea. Europe is not enthusiastic about it. So this is really an American, British, Israeli, Saudi coalition aimed at dealing with Iran. They haven't had any success, and the situation is very tense and is very dangerous. So this is the world we live in. This is the real coalition. This is not a global coalition. This is what we have right now, and I'm afraid there is no movement on the ground. We're not going toward war, definitely, at this point, but we're not going toward peace. So this remains a tense situation with no prospect of a solution anytime soon.
Also joining us on tonight's debate, we have American author and former diplomat Michael Springman, who's joining us from Washington, D.C. Mr. Springman, welcome to the program. What does the United States have on its mind when it wants the Israelis to join this naval patrol? It has to be provoking Iran, isn't it?
Well, exactly right. What they're trying to do is create a situation where there will be a mistake on Iran's part in as a result of an attack by a British or an American or a Israeli warship. Or there will be information fed by the Israelis to the Americans and the British that will make them think the Iranians are ready to attack, and they will try a preemptive strike, and the war will be on by mistake. Just like the 1914 war was started by a mistake, with the Archduke Francis Ferdinand making a wrong turn in the wrong street and having to back up and being assassinated, and things went downhill from there. There is no reason to have American warships in the Persian Gulf. The Fifth Fleet should not be there. The British should not have warships convoying their tankers back and forth. And the Israelis should not provide intelligence, warships, or any other kind of cooperation. It is antagonistic, and it is far too close to provoking a general war.
Mr. Al-Omari, Foreign Ministry spokesman of Iran Abbas Mousavi said Israel's presence in the strategic area is a clear threat to Iran's security and territorial integrity. He warned that that move will definitely cause tensions and instability, and that Iran reserves the right to confront such a threat. Does this all increase the risk of a conflict in the Persian Gulf?
I think it's very provocative on the part of the United States to include Israel. There's definitely enough American power, you know, to, if that's what the Americans are trying to do, there's enough American firepower to secure the Strait of Hormuz. Bringing in the Israelis in such an open way is really not conducive to discussing peace or convincing Iran to come to the peace to the negotiating table. It's actually, it accentuates the problem that Iran has, and that is the American bias toward Israel and against Iran and the Muslim world. So bringing Israel in is really a very stupid move diplomatically. It doesn't add up unless if you are trying to rub it in the face of Iran, which doesn't have doesn't serve any particular purpose. I disagree a little bit with your honorable guest about why they're doing this. I don't think that this is preparation for war. I don't think Mr. Trump is eager to have this war. What they're trying to do is trying to establish a new status quo where Iran is under sanctions and is not doing anything about it and is not taking any action to change the situation and just return to the pre-2015 situation where Iran was just living under sanctions. I am not. I really disagree that the United States is trying to establish a coalition to attack Iran, but they do want that. They do want to change to change that situation diplomatically to have more support, and probably incrementally increase the political pressure and diplomatic pressure on Iran, and be ready for whatever comes if Iran decides to withdraw from the deal. I doubt that this is really bringing in the Israelis is really getting ready for war, although it's very dangerous and it makes negotiating much more difficult. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense at this point.
Michael Springman, the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman, said that Tel Aviv and Washington bear responsibility for the consequences of what he called this dangerous measure. Do you think that the likes of the U.S. and the UK are considering what kind of repercussions these actions and any further escalations could have, both regionally and globally?
No, they're not considering them. I draw the parallel to the summer of 1914, when war seemed to be in the interests of everyone. The Russians wanted solidarity with their Slavs in the Balkans. The Austrians wanted to control the Balkans. The Germans wanted to prove they were a major power. The British were worried that Germans were far too strong. And everyone thought, oh yes, this is a short, quick war. We can win. We can have our just desserts. France can get back Alsace and Lorraine and so forth. I think that the Americans are too influenced by the Israelis, who have too many of their agents in high positions in the American government, like Sigal Mandelker, the Undersecretary of the Treasury for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence. So I think that the Americans really want to push and push and push and either get regime change in Iran or make life so miserable for the Iranian people that Iran is not a functioning state. It's turned into wreckage like Syria, like Libya, like Iraq, like Yugoslavia. But I really think that they want war, and they think they can win the war at little cost.
Mr. Alomari, would you like to respond to that? Do you still disagree with our guest in Washington?
Yeah, I just don't see the Trump administration at this point, when it's really under a whole lot of pressure internally about all these accusations of racism. Mr. Trump is not doing so well for his re-election bid in 2020. I doubt that this president is trying to get into a war with Iran. However, having said that, I don't put it beyond Mr. Trump to sleepwalk into a war. They have created the situation. The setting is ready for a war. The intention may not be there, But yeah, by all means, I can see why Iran would see the presence of the Israelis and all these ships as not as, you know, ships securing the Strait of Hormuz. I can understand why they would see that as a blockade. It's easy, really, to transition from securing the Strait of Hormuz to a blockade. The difference between the two becomes minute as time passes on and Iran finds itself under greater pressure. So, yeah, I mean, by all means, you know, accidents happen, mistakes happen, and I doubt that any country plans to go to war. They usually find it, as your guest said, they usually find it necessary to go to war, and I think the situation is being created right now to make it look like that there is no other option but to go to war, when that is not the initial intention of the Trump administration. They want Iran to come back to the negotiating table. I think that effort should keep on going. Otherwise, we might very well stumble into a very catastrophic war in the Middle East.
Mr. Springman, would you like to respond to that?
Sure. I can add that it's American policy and American tradition to rally behind the president when America is attacked. Look at the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the false flag attack, the imaginary attack by North Vietnamese warships. Look at the situation in Pearl Harbor. Look at the situation in the 1914 war. With the sinking of the Lusitania, goading the United States into fighting the Germans and the Austrians. Look at the Spanish-American War with the attack on the battleship Maine, which could well have been an internal explosion. Look at the attack on the Fort Sumter during the American War between the states, which kicked it off. And look at the War of 1812, when American ships were supposedly being attacked by the British. So it's basically a situation where you've got an attack on the United States, and an attack on the arms of the United States is an attack on the United States itself. You can go back even to the Mexican War, when James Knox Polk deliberately sent soldiers into disputed territory between the Rio Grande and Nueces River and caused an attack by the Mexicans. So I think that there's everything to gain and very little to lose in the minds of these unfortunate people who are looking for a situation to bring about war. You've already had these dubious tankers attacks, which were either mines or missiles or something that flew through the air and just happened to be at the time when the Japanese prime minister was meeting with the supreme leader and the foreign minister of Iran. So I think, as the other guest has noted, we can stumble into war, and that's exactly what happened in the summer of 1914.
Mr. Omari, Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said, any extra regional presence in the strategic waters is the source of insecurity. Now, time and again, Iranian officials have said they believe the security of the Persian Gulf should be maintained by countries in the region. Do you think the presence of foreign forces is one of the main reasons and sources of tension in the first place?
Well, this has always been the case in the Middle East. I mean, every major war was triggered or by a foreign power. So yeah, this is not new. We in the last two centuries we have had major colonial powers in the region. So it's obvious that the presence of these forces cause everybody to be nervous. And now the Middle East is really a war between the United States and Russia, for example. We have Russia also in the region, and we have other powers, regional powers, vying for strategic positions and competing. So this is obvious. However, what is the solution out of this? I don't see in the horizon grand plans to bring peace to the Middle East. What we see is really a game of chess, and everybody is moving one piece here and one piece there. Everybody is weary of war and concerned. However, this situation where there is no war and no peace, I find it very difficult to see this last for a very long time, because it's definitely not working for the Iranian people. I think the Trump administration wants to get the situation to a state where the Iranian government says, okay, I accept it. I'm living under sanctions. My people are suffering, and I accept it. I doubt that this will work for the Iranian people. And therefore, what we look forward to is escalation naturally, because Iran cannot go on. This is a country of 80 million people, and they cannot live under sanctions. And therefore, it's really hard to see this, hovering in this area. I hope that there is something happening behind the scenes, because all the indications say that the Iranian government does not want war, understands that a war will not help it achieve any of its goals. And the United States and the West are really concerned that a war with Iran will not deal with the underlying problems of the region. On the contrary, it will just create more problems for a region that is suffering economically, suffering in terms of security, wars all over the place. So let's hope that something is happening in the background in terms of negotiations. Otherwise, this is really hard to maintain for a very long time.
Mr. Springman, when we're talking about tensions in the region, specifically in the Persian Gulf right now, a few weeks back, President Hassan Rouhani said the unfortunate incidents and tensions in the region today have their roots in the unilateral U.S. withdrawal from the JCPOA agreement. The region is in this position right now because of the U.S. leaving the JCPOA, isn't it?
Yes, correct. After the United States left the agreement, which had been sanctioned by the United Nations and was binding upon the United States, just as a treaty would, they slapped more and more and more sanctions on Iran, everything from medicine and food and parts for aircraft to things like blocking them out of the SWIFT banking system and making sure that no dollars are transferred to pay for necessary goods that the Iranians somehow could get past the American sanctions blockade. So you've got a situation where you're increasing the tensions on Iran, on the people of Iran, on the economy of Iran. When I was there in May of last year, the Iranians had a functioning economy with goods in the shops and tremendous traffic jams. But I think the Americans want to reduce the Iranian people to starving and begging and create a situation where they're exchanging cigarettes for food and everything else, just like Germany was after the end of the Second World War. So I think that if the Americans can create a real economic problem for Iran, which they've done and they want to intensify, they're quite happy about it.
All right, that's all the time we have for tonight's debate. Allow me to thank my guest, author and political commentator Nasir Alomari, joining us from New York. Also thanks to American author and former diplomat Michael Springman, joining us from Washington, D.C. Also a special thanks to you, our viewers, for staying with us on tonight's debate. Good night, everybody.